Now, from Hollywood, Romance. In movies, you're always seeing the young guy meeting the girl of his dreams as he leans across the counter of his little hash house. It's pretty ridiculous to think this kind of thing really happens. I'll tell you something. To me, it really did.
So now, with Jack Moyles as Vic and Sammy Hill as Susan, we bring you transcribed Anthony Ellis' charming story, The Inheritance of Susan.
Oh, good evening.
Hello.
Like to see a menu?
Yes, please. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Let's see. I'd like a steak, mm-hmm. and a salad, and a fried potatoes.
Mm-hmm. String beans or peas?
Oh, beans, please.
Coffee now or later?
Later, please.
Okay. I was running a hash joint on the corner of Whitley and 12th. Things had been kind of slow, so I'd open up a little earlier, hoping to catch some extra trade. It was about 5:30 when she came in. I hadn't seen her around before. A pretty girl. Kind of thin, perhaps, but pretty. She wore an old polo coat. Not dirty, but it had seen better times. She was the first customer that day. There's your salad. And I forgot to ask, how do you like your steak?
Rare.
Ah. A little game. Yeah, I try and figure out how the customer wants a steak. If I'm right, I take out a nickel. Wrong, I put one in.
And how do you make out?
I'm usually ahead. Yeah, you look the rare type.
Your salad dressing's very good.
Thanks. Most people wouldn't notice the difference.
It's really very good.
I'm sorry about the service. I'm on my own since 2 days ago. The girl I had working for me left.
Oh.
Of course, I've seen about a dozen applicants since, but I'm very particular, you know. Good food and good service, that's my motto.
Yes, I saw it on the door.
Ooh, better go take a look at your steak. One steak, rare.
I was afraid you weren't coming back. Oh, it looked wonderful.
Boy, the way she went for that steak made you wonder. Personally, I'm the type goes for a girl with a little more, well, you know. What I say is a woman should look like a woman. You can have those fashion models that look like star broomsticks. I want to see a woman. Well, it didn't take her long to finish. She sure cleaned up the plate. And I brought her a piece of apple pie and coffee.
Oh, that's the best pie I think I've ever eaten.
Thanks. Make it myself. More coffee?
No, thank you.
Okay. Let's see. That'll be $1.70.
I couldn't have had better for twice the money.
Oh, glad you liked it. Sure you wouldn't like more coffee?
No, thank you.
Okay.
Look, I'm very sorry. I can't pay you. I haven't any money, and I know it wasn't fair to...
Are you kidding?
No, I'm broke, really.
Oh, swell. That's real swell, a deadbeat.
I'm sorry.
Why don't you pick on one of those places uptown? They can afford it. Listen, I'm sick of people like you. I got a good mind to call a cop.
Well, I said I'm sorry. I was hungry. I didn't want to do this, but I ran out of money yesterday, and I was hoping I'd get a job.
Okay, but... okay. I'm not interested in your life's history. Now, go ahead. Go on. Get out.
I'll pay you. I know I'll get something, maybe tomorrow. And the very minute I do, I'll pay you.
Sure, sure. So long.
Really, I'll pay you back.
Yeah, yeah. Go on, son. Scram.
Mister?
What?
I could work it out. You said you were looking for a waitress. I could do that. I've done it before.
Forget it.
I could work for you tonight.
No.
I'm good at it. Honestly, I am. I need a job. And if I work out tonight, maybe you could keep me on steady.
Look, I guess you're honest. Thanks for trying, but I couldn't keep you on anyway.
Just for tonight? Please.
Honey, I've told you. I'll trust you for the money. When you get a job, come on back. Be a regular customer.
I thought if I worked, maybe you'd let me sleep in the back somewhere. Just till morning.
You got nowhere to sleep tonight?
No.
You from out of town?
Yes, upstate New York. I came in on the bus last night and I slept in the waiting room.
How old are you?
22.
Sure look younger. Now, take off your coat.
What?
Take your coat off. There's a uniform in the room back there.
Oh, thanks. Thanks a lot.
Wait a minute. I gotta tell you something. I can't afford to keep you on steady. Maybe a few bucks to keep you going till something else comes up, that's all. The last girl walked out on me because I was a week behind on her pay. Things are kind of bad right now. May have to fold up in a couple of weeks.
Oh, no. Oh, it's so clean in here, and your food is really very good.
Only trouble is, there's not enough customers to appreciate it.
Well, you ought to be so busy, you'd need two girls.
Yeah, that's what I keep telling myself. Hey, what's your name?
Susan. Susan Webster.
I'm Vic Bradbury. You just call me Vic. Okay, get in your uniform and I'll give you a quick rundown, show you where things are.
All right.
Oh, hey.
Huh?
Here. Here's $10 in advance. You better find a room. You can get your meals here.
Thank you, Vic.
Forget it. Now, you better step on it. If there's going to be customers, they start coming in around 6. And the customers sure did start coming in. I don't know how it happened, but that night was the busiest in 2 months. Susan was terrific. I've never seen anyone catch on so quickly or work so hard. I had 6 tables in the place and 12 stools at the counter. How she did it, I don't know, but nobody was kept waiting. What a night.
One lamb chop, one steak medium, French fries and peas, and I'll take care of the salad.
Oh, all right. The dressing's in that bowl right over there.
All right.
How you doing? Tired?
Oh, no, I love it.
So do I, kid, so do I. Hey, and you know something?
What?
Things keep up like this, and you got yourself a steady job.
Maybe I'll bring you luck.
She brought me luck, all right. From that first night, we were going crazy. I took in enough dough at the end of the week to settle up all my bills and have something left over. It was Friday night, 7 days since she'd come in. We'd closed up an hour later than usual. That's how busy we'd been. Susan and I were sitting at the counter having coffee.
Oh, my poor feet. They're tired.
Oh, here. I got something for you.
How?
First week's salary.
$30.
Oh, how'd you make out on tips?
Fine. Almost $20.
Hey, that's good. Real good. You want to try it for another week or find something else?
I'd like to stay. That is, if it's all right with you.
All right. Suze, you brought a magic wand with you. Listen, I'm taking you out tonight. I've got an idea, and I want to talk to you about it.
Oh, Vic, this is nice. This is real nice.
And this is the kind of a place I mean, Susan. This is what I want. Not a hash house. A place where you can get good food and good wine. People will talk about it. And there isn't one in town, and there's sure room for one. Oh, I got a feeling my luck has changed since you came along, Suze. Now maybe I can do what I've always wanted.
But wouldn't it take an awful lot of money?
Yeah, sure, but a couple of months like this past week, and I think I could swing a loan at the bank. What do you say?
I don't understand.
You come in with me. Help me to manage it.
Me?
You.
But...
Oh, it's a dream, I know, but... Well... Want to share it with me?
Oh, I'd love to.
Oh, swell. Hey, you know, I've never asked you, what'd you do back in New York?
Oh, nothing much.
You got folks back there?
Yes.
Okay, so you don't want to talk about it?
No.
None of my business, anyway.
Vic, let's have another drink.
All right. It took 4 months to the day. I sold the hash house, hocked everything I owned, and rented a place in the best part of town. The bank worked out a deal for me. A month later, we were ready to open. Suze took care of the tables, 20 of them with three girls. I was in the kitchen with a guy named Lenny. Then it was opening night.
Oh, it's 5:30, Vic. Shall I open the door?
Yeah. Yeah, how are the reservations?
We've got 18 up to now. Oh, 19, I hope.
Well, it's not bad, but it's got to be better.
It will be.
Sure it will. You better open up, huh?
All right.
Oh, hey.
Yes?
Thanks. Thanks for sticking. Now, good luck.
And you too.
It started slow, but by 7 o'clock, we were humming. Then at 7:30, Susan came back to the kitchen.
Oh, Vic.
Yeah, I'll be right with you. Lenny?
Yeah, Mr. Brother.
This plate's not hot. More sauce on the grenadine of beef, huh?
Okay.
Oh, Vic.
Yeah, honey? Hey, what's the matter with you? What do you got your coat on for?
I've got to get out of here.
What do you mean? Are you sick?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. It's just
that... Wait a minute. Somebody get fresh out there.
Oh, no, I'll try and explain later. I've got to go.
Susan! Oh, Alice.
Yes, sir?
What's the matter out there?
You mean with Miss Susan?
Huh.
I don't know, sir. I think she saw somebody come in and it scared her.
Who was it?
A couple of men.
Where are they sitting? Come on, show me.
Oh, right over there, in the corner, sir. Table 14.
Through the window slit in the kitchen door, I saw one man at table 14. The other had gone. It didn't take more than one look to guess what he was. Susan had been scared off by a couple of detectives.
We will return to romance and our story, The Inheritance of Susan, in just a moment. Two wonderful gals on two wonderful comedy shows are part of the Sunday Night Story on CBS Radio. They're Eve Arden and Gail Storm, stars on those delightful programs you hear on most of these same stations, Our Miss Brooks and My Little Margie. Gail Gordon and the rest of the gang assist Eve Arden in making everything merry on Our Miss Brooks. And Gail Storm's main co-conspirator on My Little Margie is Charles Farrell. Enjoy him again tomorrow night at the Star's Address. And now for the second act of Romance.
The detective, if that's what he was, didn't seem to be bothered by the fact that Susan hadn't showed up again after she'd come back in the kitchen. He ordered dinner, ate it, and when he was through, Alice came back with a message.
The gentleman at table 14 wants to talk to you. He wants to know if it's all right for him to come back here.
Yeah, tell him to come on back.
Well, Mr. Bradbury, will you make up some more cocktail toast for the shrimp? We'll be out in a few more orders.
Oh, okay, Lenny.
Hi. You're the owner?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, that was a fine meal.
Thanks.
And what happened to the young lady who was here when my friend and I came in?
Why don't you ask your friend? He followed her out of here, didn't he?
We've been looking for her for a long time.
That's so?
Yeah, my friend went out to talk to her. He just came in a minute ago. She gave him the slip.
Too bad.
Shrimp sauce, huh?
What else?
We'd like her address, please.
Why? What do you want to see her about?
That's our business.
Has she done something wrong? You are cops.
In a way, I suppose you'd call us that.
Well, what's she done?
We'd like her address.
You found her here, you go ahead and find her where she lives.
We will. You can make it easier if you tell me now.
I don't like things the easy way. They never work out.
Might mean trouble for you.
It might. Now look, Buster, I'm busy. This is opening night. You've had your say, so kindly pay your bill and leave.
All right. That's still a fine meal you serve.
Thanks a lot. Next time, remember, I reserve the right to refuse service to anyone. Don't bother to come back. So long. I was worried. I couldn't leave, and she didn't come back. At 11 o'clock, we closed up. I went back to my place, hoping maybe she'd left word. I didn't want to go over to where she lived in case the snoops were hanging around waiting to follow me. So I put in a call to her landlady.
Hello?
Mrs. Murfish, this is Mr. Bradbury.
Who?
Mr. Bradbury.
He's not here. Nobody by that name here.
Oh, wake up, Mrs. Murfish. This is Mr. Bradbury. Is Susan Webster in her room?
Oh, Mr. Bradbury, dear. I tried to call you. I was worried. Susan left an hour ago. She paid her rent and left. Is she sick or something? She looked sick or something.
I don't know. Did she say where she was going?
No. Is she sick or something?
I don't know. Now, listen, if any men come asking about her, don't tell them anything. It's important. Do you understand?
I won't. Sure, I don't know anything about her.
No, I don't, Mrs. Murfish. Good night. I went over to the bus terminal. Thought maybe she would have gone out of town from there, but the ticket agent hadn't seen anyone answering her description. I guess that's about the time I began to figure out something. I hadn't even thought that maybe she'd done anything wrong. I knew her better than anybody, and I didn't know her at all. That makes a lot of sense when you're in love with somebody. And I was in love with Susan. I went back to the apartment and smoked a pack of cigarettes. It must have been past 2 when the phone rang. Hello.
Vic?
Susan! Suze, where are you?
Vic, I'm sorry. I called to say goodbye.
Why? What's the matter?
Nothing's the matter.
Well, then why are those detectives following you? Susan, I've got to see you. Where are you?
But thanks for everything you've done for me. I'll never forget it.
Susan.
Goodbye, Vic, and I love you.
Susan. Susan. I'd heard the sound of a plane motor over the phone. The airport. It took me 8 minutes to get there. It's usually a 20-minute drive from my place. There were 2 patrol cars on my tail when I got there. I ran into the waiting room.
Flight 36, New York City, Philadelphia, Washington, 811.
And I saw her with the 2 detectives. Susan! Susan!
Oh, no, Vic. Oh, no.
All right, don't make any trouble.
Now, you keep out of this. Suze, tell me, I want to help. What have you done?
Nothing, nothing, Vic. Please go away. I've got to go back.
Who are these guys?
You better get aboard, miss. We'll take care of him.
Oh, you will, huh? Yeah. They took care of me. And when I woke up, I was in the pokey. 6 traffic violations and disturbing the peace. Susan was gone. The next morning, I was brought up before the judge. And I was lucky he'd eaten dinner in my place the night before. And when I explained what had happened, he let me off easy. $50. I went over to the rooming house where Susan had stayed.
Oh, it troubles me so, Mr. Bradbury, dear. A sweet young thing like that getting in mortal trouble with the law. Just no accounting, that's what there is.
She never said anything to you about where she came from, what she did?
Not a blessed word. Kept her room neat as a darning needle. Never a letter, nor any phone calls, excepting you, Mr. Bradbury. You were her only friend.
I sure wish I could help. But I don't even know where they've taken her. It took those detectives over 4 months to find her. How am I going to...
Now, maybe there'll be something about her arrest in the morning paper. Maybe that would tell you something.
Hey, that's a thought.
Oh, sure, I haven't had a chance to read it yet myself. I left it in the parlor. Come right in, Mr. Bradbury, dear. Oh, my. Oh, Mr. Bradbury, dear. I feel I'll faint.
Holy smoke. It was there, plastered over the front page with a big picture. Her picture. Susan. But not Susan Webster. Susan Messinger. The headline read, Richest Girl in the World Found.
She refused to say where she has been for the past month. Her father, the Steel King, had no other statement to make. The 18-year-old beauty is heir to $86 million. Imagine that now. And in my house. Just wait until I tell...
Oh, thanks, Mrs. Murfish. I'll be seeing you.
Mr. Bradbury. Mr. Bradbury, dear.
There's not much more to it. The place has been open a month now. I haven't heard from Susan. But didn't expect to. I guess she ran away from home to prove something. I don't know what it was, but I hope she found what she was looking for. $86 million. Well, one thing's for sure. Someday, somebody will come along and take her away from it all. Or take it all away from her. Poor kid. I'm kind of sorry it won't be me.
Romance is produced and directed by Norman McDonnell, with editorial supervision by Het Mannheim. You have heard The Inheritance of Susan, specially written for Romance by Anthony Ellis, starring Jack Moyles as Vic and Sammy Hill as Susan. Featured in the cast were Paul Frees, Mary Lansing, Janet Comerford, and Don Diamond. This is Hugh Douglas inviting you to hear Romance, transcribed next week at this same time. A reminder to you Western fans, America's favorite singing cowboy, Gene Autry, rides to new adventures and sings with the Melody Ranch Gang tomorrow night. You'll want to follow Gene's latest exciting adventure of the wide open West. And you'll enjoy the offerings down Melody Ranch way, too, when CBS Radio sends The Gene Autry Show your way tomorrow night on most of these same stations.
Gunsmoke is heard twice every Saturday on the CBS Radio Network.